Hello to you and welcome to America Trends. I'm Amy Fuller. Glad to have you along on the YouTube America TV network and on Biz Talk Radio. We're going to have a good time. You know, we're going to take you to CPAC. It is that conservative grassroots big conference that's in and around D.C. this whole weekend. Vice President Pence addressed some of the people there, and we are going to hear from Senator Ted Harvey, our friend that comes on all the time. He's with the Committee to Defend the President. We're going to hear about all that's happening and a little preview of what else is to come for the weekend. Plus, Michael Hart of Heart of America, and he is also the author of Unknown America, which has little known facts, things we should have learned in school but maybe didn't, or learned incorrectly. It's Women's History Month, so he'll probably have some things to tell us about that that we didn't know, and other political headlines of the day. And also, to tell you what's trending, Ticketmaster, that's trending. Know why? People are freaking out because it was down for a time. Too many people trying to buy BTS tickets, I guess. It was giving some users heart palpitations. So, anxiety these pictures are giving me, says good old Teresa on Twitter. Also, there's a fake website at the top of at least one search engine called Ticket Network. So just look at where you're going and where you're spending your money, okay? Also to tell you about yet another blood pressure medication being recalled for a cancer risk, second time this week. There's been a series since last July, more than a dozen recalls since then. Now a place called Camber Pharmaceutica is issuing a voluntary recall, some 87 lots of Losartan, I think that's right. You know if you're on them. Tablets, USP, 25 milligrams, 50 milligrams, and 100 milligrams. Take a look. Company said there was detection of trace amounts of something called NMBA. That's a potential human carcinogen. Company said customers should first contact their doctors for guidance before stopping any pills. You got to be on something, right? FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb said, a bunch of tweets today, impurities may be happening when specific chemicals and reaction conditions are present in the manufacturing process. It said it right, but that's what we pay these people for, right? But do take the time to do an internet search to see if your meds are on the list, and be sure to take care of yourself, okay? President Trump is giving a bit of a post-mortem on the whole North Korea summit that happened in Hanoi this week. He, of course, met there with Kim Jong-un. He walked away early, Trump did. The sticking points, North Korea wanting relief from all sanctions. Not going to happen. The U.S. wants complete denuclearization. The president did tweet today, great to be back from Vietnam. An amazing place. We had substantive negotiations with Kim Jong-un, he tweeted. We know what they want, and they know what we must have. Relationship very good. And there's a tweet, let's see what happens. His famous exit phrase we always love, we'll see what happens. Trump also had a series of tweets lambasting his former attorney, Michael Cohen, who spent much of this week testifying in front of a House Oversight Committee. I guess they say they're looking for evidence of Russian collusion, but Cohen told them he had none. So just pretty good testimony for Trump. So what are they looking for? Who knows? But the president did react. He wrote, tweeted, Michael Cohen's book manuscript shows that he committed perjury on a grand scale. And also he tweeted, Congress must demand the transcript of Cohen's new book given to publishers a short time ago. Your heads will spin when you see the lies, misrepresentations, and contradictions against his testimony. Totally discredited. So we're going to talk about that coming up with our guest. And also, we are going to take you to CPAC with Senator Ted Harvey, who's been there this week, and he's going to be here this whole week. And we're going to hear what Vice President Pence had to say. Going to hear a little bit now and a little bit later as we head to break.
As I stand before you today, the American economy is booming. In just over 2 years, businesses large and small have created 5.3 million new jobs, including over 480,000 good-paying manufacturing jobs that the other side said would never come back.
We are kicking off Women's History Month, and we're also talking about some of the political headlines of the day, many of them probably, with our friend Michael Hart of the Heart of America show. He is also the author of Unknown America. This is a book you should have. Gosh, I hope it would be nice if we knew everything in that book, that we didn't learn at all or that we learned incorrectly. But Michael is here, so have no fear to get us straight on all these things. And Michael, you're a small business owner, and you've got this book, and you have more coming down the pike. I thought maybe we would talk about some tidbits involving Women's History Month. I know there was at least one president that was sort of down for the count, and his wife sort of took over, as you recount in your book, right?
That is correct. It was actually Edith Wilson, when Woodrow Wilson had a stroke, and she acted as president of the United States for about 18 months, and she would not allow cabinet members into his bedroom. We don't know if she actually signed any legislation, but she certainly had a lot of influence over it. But Edith Wilson was actually referred to by many cabinet members at that time, Amy, as Madam President. So there's a lot of stories behind her and a lot of novels written about her as well. But in fact, for about 18 months, she was the boss.
Huh. Perhaps the first female president indeed. Anything else that stands out to you from your books that you think of right off the bat for Women's History Month?
Well, you know, there's a lot of women throughout history that have made some pretty amazing contributions. Rebecca Felton, who was the very first female senator in the United States, she actually only served for 24 hours, and it was because of some political wrangling and some payback that her husband was actually in Congress. He died, and she was a placekeeper for a governor that unexpectedly won in Georgia. And when he vanquished his opponent, he was actually, the opponent thought that he was going to beat Felton, and Felton kind of stepped in as kind of just a backhanded attempt by the incoming senator to get back at the former governor. So she only served for 24 hours. And then there's Rosetta Tharpe, who was actually the godmother of rock and roll. And I mean, she look her up on YouTube. She can really wail on the guitar. There's Elizabeth Graham. Elizabeth Graham preceded Rosa Parks and Claudette Colvin back in New York in the 1800s when she refused to give up her seat on a trolley car. So there's a lot of things lost to history. Molly Pitcher, and the list just goes on and on.
And the other thing I love about you, Michael, is when you come on, you know, we had the big summit that was a little bit abbreviated this week because Trump, who's known for the art of the deal, walked away. And why not? He knows what, listen, people can complain about what he did or didn't do, but this is a tough process. And if it weren't tough, other presidents would have gotten it done. But what I was going to mention is that you talk about how these hostilities between the U.S. and North Korea, they go far, far back before the North Korean War, indeed back to the 1800s. So what can you tell us?
Well, you know, that's right. You know, Amy, there's been a lot of talk about what previous presidents have accomplished, what Trump accomplished. Just the fact that there was a summit to begin with is a success. But the reality of it is that it's ingrained in the Korean psyche that they're always going to remain somewhat isolated. And the thing is, it goes, like you pointed out, all the way back to about 1866 on the heels of the Opium Wars when China vanquished many of the Pacific Rim countries and their ruling classes. Because of this, the dynasty in Korea, the total Korean Peninsula at that time, was very suspicious of doing any kind of trade with any other nations, so much so they even attacked an American merchant ship called the General Sherman in 1866. And so you've got this thing in the Korean Peninsula and the psyche of being very suspicious. And on top of that, Kim Jong-un, there's not a chance in the world that he's going to deviate from his grandfather's legacy. He's done everything in his power to emulate his grandfather and kind of bypassing his father's wackiness. And the reality of it is Kim is not going to be that guy that breaks down the cultural isolation that we see in Korea as a whole. He just doesn't have the wherewithal to do that, and he doesn't want that to be his legacy. So he's going to play this dog and pony game as long as he is in a position of power. His kids will do it. Their kids will do it as well, because that's just the way North Korea rolls.
Do you think this Kim, though, is he seems like he could be just a little more interested in the things that capitalism brings, the hoity-toity, the restaurants, and this and that. I think he's been sort of mesmerized in the past. But the more he goes down that road, the less power he will have and exude and give to his descendants, as you say.
Well, you know, it's not unusual, and your point is valid, and it's not unusual for people from some of the cultures to come here and get kind of quasi-westernized. You know, one thing we learned about the 19 terrorists before the 9/11 attacks, these guys are hanging out in the gentlemen's clubs, they're going to the bars, and they basically had gotten Americanized. You know, perhaps if they'd stayed here a few more months, it would have stuck, and we never would have had that event. But it's not unusual. But at the end of the day, you know, you got to bear in mind that in Korea, North Korea, they still think they're fighting the Americans. They still think there's a war going on. They don't know there's been an armistice. So he's got to maintain that front as long as he can. Over time, will this break down? Frankly, over time, it'll have to as the world economy more internationalizes. But at the end of the day, he's going to hold on as long as he can, because although the rank and file North Koreans might be living in a communist nation, this guy's living in Luxembourg or Morocco. I mean, he's got a very westernized lifestyle.
Yeah, he's got it going well. I thought we might just touch on some of the things going on in Virginia politics, because we had all these things with blackface with the governor and then his lieutenant governor, allegations of sexual assault or whatever. And again, just allegations, no due process yet. And then the third in line, something else about more blackface. I mean, you almost can't make it up. And so luckily for them, Jussie Smollett happened, which he should send a fruit basket to them. And then lucky for Jussie Smollett, Robert Kraft happened. So the headlines went up. Before we even can digest what's happened and suppose in a correct way how it all applies to the big scheme of things, the next story happens and the media breathlessly tells us about it. But the point I was getting back to is going back to Virginia. The wife of Governor Northam did something this week where she handed out cotton to some school kids, but cotton to the black people. These are just the headlines, Michael. What's going on?
You know, it's kind of hard to pinpoint, Amy. There was even a school that was called out a day or two ago for asking the white students to imagine that your parents were slaveholders. And I don't know if what we're seeing is you know, society as a whole trying to reconcile what has gone on. But as far as the blackface stuff from years ago, there was a period in time like the KA fraternity, which would have their old South days, for example, where I don't know if it was prejudiced or bigoted. It was certainly insensitive. But it was also a time in American history where I think a lot of people were grappling with the differences, because we're still, you know, pretty fresh off the civil rights movement. And over time, as we distance ourselves from that, generationally speaking, it's become a lot more of a sensitive issue. But the cotton ball thing, I do not know. But, you know, I live in Birmingham, Alabama, and right down the road is a friend of mine that owns a farm. It's a functioning cotton farm, legitimately. And they have these kids come in from some of the wealthier, more affluent areas, and they pick cotton. But they also milk cows, and they do all kinds of crazy things like that. So was it racist? I don't know, because these particular people deal with some of the white children as well. I think they look at it as though it's educational, but it falls kind of flat.
We're going to hold you over. You know what? Michael, I think we're listening to the woman you were talking about as we hit a break, right? Good stuff. Okay, we're back with Michael after this. Thing wrong with that. Thank you guys in the control room for finding that. Michael Hart, what a treat, right? And tell us again, it's Women's History Month. Tell us what she meant to music in America.
Well, you know, again, her name was Rosetta Tharpe, and as you can see, she was rather grandmotherly. She kind of blended the blues with the old Negro spirituals together to create the early form of rock and roll. But you know something, and that's a fantastic video that you guys just showed, because you got to bear in mind, you remember all the guffaw that we heard about Elvis Presley and his hips and how he was going to cause kids to act inappropriately and whatnot?
Imagine, was very afraid of Elvis and his hips at the time, of course.
Absolutely. Now, imagine for just a moment, 10 years, 15 years before Elvis Presley comes on the scene, and we have got an older black grandmother wailing on a guitar in front of white America. This woman had some guts, Amy.
Wow. I never thought about it that way, Michael. That's why I love having you on. Couldn't you just watch this all day, though? Sister Rosetta.
Oh, she's great.
Oh, man. Write that down, everybody. Look it up. Enjoy it.
Yep. I'm sorry, but Aretha ain't got nothing on her.
Ain't taking nothing away, but come on now. Jeez. So much to talk. We love having Michael Hart on from the Heart of America show, Heard All Over. And he's also the author of this book, Unknown America, where you can read about all kinds of things. It's Women's History Month, but he's got so many tidbits for everything. Everybody we've bought this book for loves it, Michael. So we're waiting for the follow-up and the follow-up after that. And we know there's all kinds of great political stuff to write about. Hey, let's continue with some of the political headlines. Bernie Sanders, as you reported, has a curious new staffer. A twice arrested illegal is now his press secretary. Is that what I'm seeing here?
She is his press secretary and assistant spokeswoman. And supposedly, yes, she has claimed that she is illegal. Although her parents are able to vote, she is not. So I don't know if this is just Sanders grandstanding or perhaps trying to cover for his wife's financial foibles or not, but it is very curious. And the funny thing about it is that the girl wasn't even, you know, she was a Sanders, I won't say acolyte. She supported him the first time around, but was unable to vote for him. But she encouraged everybody else to vote for Hillary Clinton. But now she's gotten on the old white bandwagon. And so she's out there stumping for Bernie Sanders while, I guess, trying to avoid ICE at the same time.
Trying to avoid ICE at the same time. Let's just reiterate that. It's so strange, though, because you do. We have Bernie Sanders. He's an old white man, and I thought they were so out of vogue right now.
Well, apparently they're coming back in because now we're having the chatter of Joe Biden. And I think, you know, I think Biden's so frustrated. And I think to a degree, Sanders is as well. You got to bear in mind, during the last election, how hard to the left is he? Now, all of a sudden, we're 2 years later, and we've got Bernie Sanders, for all intent and purposes, in the middle. And if that doesn't scare people to death, I don't know what does. But then you start adding in, you know, to the whole, you know, I was a stoner, vote for me. I hate hamburgers, so vote for me mantra.
Corey,
that we're seeing from
Kamala, right.
Oh, God, it's unbelievable. So, you know, when either Bernie Sanders or Joe Biden or both of them, for this matter, think that they have to enter the race to save America from their own party. Wow, we got a bad case of it going on.
Don't you wish you could be in on some of the back and forth emails or messages between the Democratic Party people and the people trying to keep it in line? And I just, if there weren't so much writing on it, you could just sit back and it's the best entertainment ever. What's going to happen in 2020 with all these Democratic contenders? And then whoever rises to the top and goes against Trump, it's going to be the best entertainment we've ever seen. So speaking of the new left, the new socialists that have pushed oh so far, further than Bernie, we have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and she's now making lists. I mean, I don't know if she's heard of the McCarthy era, maybe not, but she's making lists and she's saying, you Democrats, you moderate Democrats, if you vote anywhere along the lines with these moderate Republicans, you're going on a list and we're going to do nothing short of working hard to get you out of office. I mean, she really is sort of amazed with herself, I think.
Oh, you know, she absolutely is. I mean, I don't know what, you know, if you look at every single picture of Ocasio-Cortez you look at, it reminds me of this girl, the friend that I had in high school that I had to dump because she was crazy and then
hides
in the bushes.
I already love this story. You dumped her because she was crazy.
I dumped her because she's a crazy girl and she hides in the bushes because she's going to cut my tires the next morning. Ocasio-Cortez has that look on her face all the time. I don't know who she thinks she is, but at the end of the day, the reality of it is her ego is bigger than BB Rex's backside, and I do not, for the life of me, understand who she thinks she is, and I think she's really getting under the fingernails of Nancy Pelosi in that class.
Yeah, and Feinstein had to rise up and say, so, I mean, these little schoolgirls arrived outside Dianne Feinstein's office and said, we want this, and they said, listen, I've been in politics a long time. I might know a little better than your Green Deal people. I mean, are people taking this Green Deal seriously? And if we're all going to die in 12 years because the Earth is just going to be, it's just going to be eviscerated by us, then why do we care?
Well, we shouldn't. And I think a lot of the Democrats out there that have an IQ higher than a toaster oven, I think they realize that this is a non-implementable program. I really think that they probably think Ocasio-Cortez will not get reelected anyway. Her base is what it is. And, you know, they were very motivated the first time around. But in the reality of it is that the Green New Deal it's not implementable. It's an absolute financial disaster. It destroys, you know, three or four of the center point industries in this nation, from manufacturing to automobiles to air travel, you know, to farming, agriculture, you name it. And this country is built on, you know, we were an agrarian society for many, many, many years, for decades, for centuries even. You can't undermine, I mean, how are we going to feed Americans? You know, how are we going to transport people? You can't undermine the entire economic system. So she has this highfalutin mindset. But the scary thing to me is you've got a sitting president that's embattled now with the testimony of Michael Cohen, and you've got Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Rashida Tlaib actually doing some of the cross-examining of Michael Cohen, whereas, you know, 3 or 4 months ago, you know, she's slinging, one of them slinging Mai Tais in a dive, and the other one's running around a mosque trying to, you know, find out which madrasa is open on Sunday. So I don't have any idea what these people are thinking.
I mean, this is your House Oversight Committee, ladies and gentlemen. He spent at least 3 days, some behind closed doors, some oh so breathlessly announced on TV, Michael Cohen giving his testimony, a man that was sworn to be, you know, this lawyer, just attorney-client privilege with President Trump. And he's already been busted for lying so much, yet that's who the Democrats have back. But it is kind of funny. I'm just kind of glancing at, there he is. Oh, there's Ocasio-Cortez. God love her. But James
Woods.
Tell
you, crazy eyes, look at him.
I mean, Ocasio-Cortez, James Woods, the actor, he's a conservative. Not everyone knows that he's a conservative, and he's very, people should follow you on social media, too, though, Michael Hart. But he's calling her hashtag Comrade Cortez, is taking names as one bona fide communist right down her enemies list. And, you know, she's just asking for that when she does things like this, yeah?
But gosh, Amy, she is the gift that keeps on giving. And, you know, if people only understood, the people on the hard right, and some Democrats obviously understand what a threat she is, but if the people that support her only knew what a caricature of a human being she really is, they would be appalled. But, you know, I used to be somewhat afraid of her ideologies, but she's gone so far afield that I'm just sitting here. You know, my program writes itself every single morning. I'm thinking about just changing it over to, you know, Alexandria Cortez 24/7 and just being done with it.
We barely have to get out of bed, just raise an eye and just say, here's what she's doing today. Hashtag AOC. Right. He is hashtag Michael Hart of Heart of America, and he's great. He's active on social media. Follow me. So much fun. Get his book. And Michael, we just love having you and appreciate your time, okay?
I always enjoy it.
We'll see you next time, my friend. I know that you don't know it, but you're
it's been 24 hours. And the wages of working Americans are rising at a faster pace than they have in more than a decade. Under President Donald Trump, working Americans are winning again. The forgotten men and women of America are forgotten no more. Everywhere you look, confidence is back. Jobs are coming back. In a word, America is back, and we're just getting started.
Vice President Mike Pence speaking at CPAC 2019. All these things going on in and around D.C. Our guy on the scene is Senator Ted Harvey of Colorado, former state senator and head of the Committee to Defend the President, the largest pro-Trump PAC in America. Started as a big old Stop Hillary PAC. But now he looked around and saw what time it was and said, you know, we have to do something to defend this president because people are just down on him and it's just no good. So we say welcome back to Senator Ted Harvey. How's it going there?
Good evening. Thank you for having me on. This is incredible. I'm at the Gaylord Hotel just outside of Washington, D.C., where the CPAC convention is. And I've got to tell you, the energy here is unbelievable. This is a convention of a bunch of millennials that are ready to take back our country. They're sick and tired of being labeled as a bunch of socialists a lot of millennials are out there. And these folks are patriotic, God-fearing Americans who want to defend this president and defend our country. And it's pretty exciting to be here with all of these young people and the energy that is here. It's pretty exciting.
Boy, I love to hear this. I saw something on Facebook this morning, a little meme that said, why don't we stop being pro-Democrat, pro-Republican, and be pro-American?
Whatever.
Stop trying. You can't tear down someone. The left is accused often of tearing down Trump. They don't care if they tear down America if they get to tear down Trump in the process. And that's sad. We have to do better. And so, but you say millennials. First of all, let's tell us what CPAC is. I know it's grassroots conservative, but what's CPAC stand for, Ted?
It's the Conservative Political Action Committee. It was started back in the 80s when Ronald Reagan was up and running, and it has continued to this day. It is probably the the premier conservative meeting anywhere in the United States. And that's why you have the vice president speaking today. The president will be speaking tomorrow. Conservative activists from across the country get together once a year here in the Washington, D.C. area. And it is a great networking area. It's a great way for patriots like myself and yourself to come together and support America and support our country.
And that is the thing. I think if people do watch this show or know who you are, that they probably lean a little conservative. And so
just
all
a little bit.
A little bit. Anyone you follow on Twitter, your Diamond and Silk, your Brandon Strzok, your Jack, your David Wall, his son that got booted off, Laura Loomer, all these people, Mike Pence, Donald Trump. But anyway, a lot of these people are going to be at CPAC. Everyone's, and gosh, Ted, I wish I were there. We're going to have to take a
I know, that's what I was going to say. You are not here.
It bums me out.
You guys aren't here.
Oh, you're so sweet. We love that you are there, though. So, President Trump speaking tomorrow. What else is going on there? I know that you were signing some things, and there's a whole media row going on there where you have some shots I took off your Facebook page.
It's pretty incredible that there are radio talk show hosts from all across the country here. There's probably 100 yards worth of tables with television from around the country, radio from around the country. And as the chairman of the committee to defend the president, I'm just here trying to promote our PAC, trying to promote the president, trying to do everything we can to fight back about the Democrat liberal attack on the president. And that's all I've been doing all day long, every day, is talking on TV and radio across the country, trying to promote the president and promote our common sense conservative agenda that the president is trying to promote and get the Republicans and the Democrats to support it.
What time do you get up in the morning to start all this?
You know, tomorrow will be interesting because the president is going to be speaking at 10:30 just to get in line to make sure that we are in the hall where the president is speaking and be able to get through security. We'll have to be in line at about 5:30 or 6 o'clock tomorrow morning to be able to get through that process.
Boy, oh boy. You know, a couple days ago, and we're having you on twice this week because this is so special.
Right.
We're usually not allowed to do that because, you know, we just get the variety and everything like that. But we love our Ted. But you were so good because you had just gotten off the plane and you were in an Uber going to your hotel. And,
that was so embarrassing. That was so embarrassing.
It was not
planned that way. My flight was late and I got in late and we had scheduled for that time. And so there you were in an Uber.
Senator Ted, I will tell you, that was good TV, so don't worry.
Was it all right?
My point was, I was going to ask you, because what's your Uber's driver's name? Where are you now? Did he give you a 5-star rating? Do you know yet?
He did. It was funny, because once we got to the hotel and we were pulled over, he was taking video of it, of himself and me. He was taking a selfie of me doing an interview with you in California. So he's famous now.
Is he conservative by chance or is he
I
now?
Think he was. I think he was, yes.
Senator, listen, little by little, you know, we're doing our bit.
That's exactly right.
So you're going to get up early. We have President Trump speaking tomorrow. And then who else? We have these Diamond and Silk and other people. And I think some of the networks are there. Just enjoying themselves.
Every single network is here. Fox News is here. MSNBC is here. Everybody is here because if they want to follow what conservative politics are thinking, you know, what grassroots politicians are thinking or activists are thinking, this is the place to be. So you have every single network in the country here following what's going on here and following all the speakers. This is a who's who of the conservative movement here. And it's fun to be a part of it.
It is really
except
neat.
For your not here.
Oh my god!
The who's who, the ultimate who's who.
Oh man, you're so sweet to me. We all are missing out here in the studio. We miss being there with you. So Diamond and Silk, and we've got Brandon Strzok there, and all these people. But you did mention also that when you just said something about the millennials, what do you mean? Are there a bunch of conservative millennials that are stepping up and saying, you know, we're going to have our voices heard?
Yes. This has always been a place for the younger generations to come and get involved in politics. There's a great sessions for them to work on their resumes, to be able to meet with congressional delegations, to maybe get internships in the past. But there are more here this time than I've ever seen ever
really?
In the history of CPAC. I mean, they are just excited about what this president is doing, excited about what the conservative movement is accomplishing, and they want to be a part of it. And it's exciting for me. I'm an old guy. So it's exciting for me to see these this number of people coming out and wanting to be a part of CPAC and be a part of taking back our country.
I can't help but think that people like Brandon Strzok from the hashtag Walk Away movement have,
yes.
and Tommy Lahren and Candace Owen, they've drummed up this, you know, let's be heard. Let's not wait till you're 30 or 40 to get involved in politics. Let's do some critical thinking now and have your voice heard. And I think a lot, I'm sure they're all there this weekend.
They are. I've seen Candace Owens here, and I'm blanking on his name. What's his name?
That's Brandon
the other part
Strzok.
Of Turning Point. Charlie Cook, is that his name? The other part, the founder of Turning Point USA with Candace Owens.
Oh, yeah, Kirk. Is it Kirk?
Yeah, Charlie Kirk.
But you just follow Turning Point on Twitter and you'll find him.
Right. And they were both here. They had a party last night for millennials. And let me tell you, that was the party to be to if you were a young person. There was thousands of kids there that brought down the house. This has been an amazing turning point, I think, in American politics, seeing these young people come out and get involved.
Yeah, it is. It's Charlie Kirk, right? And there's Brandon. He's going to be speaking.
There you go.
You know, we've got a little quick commercial break, Ted, but we're going to bring you back. And I don't know if you got to see any of the Cohen Testament. You're very involved there when it's hard to pay attention to the news and things like that. But we're going to get some commentary on what it all means from Senator Ted Harvey. We come right back. Welcome back to America Trends. I'm Amy Fuller, and you are with the U2 America TV Network and Biz Talk Radio. I don't know if you've heard of FOMA. The kids use that, fear of missing out. But if you are a conservative, you might have FOMA, the fear of missing out, on CPAC, which is going on all this weekend. But fear no more. We are there with Senator Ted Harvey of Colorado. He's been there since we were with him when his Uber driver dropped him off. And there he is with the Committee to Defend the President. And Ted, you see, I just sort of bounced around Twitter for a minute, and I see it says CPAC 2019. Charlie Kirk and Candace Owens are the king and queen of the GOP ball. In years
exactly.
past, Breitbart and Fox News dominated the annual conservative confab, but this year a notoriously far-right student organization runs a show. And we do see students really stepping up and making their voices heard, as you say, right?
They are. They are having an incredible impact here at CPAC. And the energy that comes from having that many millennials here is incredibly exciting. But another thing that I didn't mention is how exciting it is to see how many African Americans are here. They are taking over the Republican Party in a way that I've never seen before. And if we can continue to move in that direction, I don't believe the Democrats will be able to win any further national elections, because I think Trump got something like 12-14% of the African male vote. If he's able to get 14-20% of the African male and female vote, I don't see how the Democrat Party can win another national election. And when you see unemployment rates being at all-time lows for the African American community, all-time lows for the Hispanic community and the female community, that's going to have a huge impact on the way that elections are driven in the United States, because the Democrat Party has taken those votes for granted for all of these years, and they can't do that anymore. And I think Donald Trump is going to change the entire political narrative across the country.
Hey, Ted, do you think, are there a lot of people, when Trump came on the scene, some said, is he a pseudo-Democrat? And what is he really here for? Is he just trying to promote his brand? Do you see people around you who have actually gotten on board because they've said, this guy, he's a billionaire who came out of doing, let's face it, he had a pretty great life. And now he gets picked on every day. He gets death threats. His family does. They are all putting their lives on the line. And he's doing far more than any president has ever done in the past or needed to, because he wants the best for our country. Do you see people coming around to respecting that?
Well, I was a skeptic. I worked at Reagan White House in 87. I've been a diehard conservative my entire life. I was a skeptic of what Donald Trump would do once he became president. I've got to tell you, he, in my opinion, is the most conservative president of my lifetime, including Ronald Reagan. Oh. Look at all the policies that he's implemented, whether it is on life, and he has been a champion in life. You look at his judicial appointments to the Supreme Court and appellate courts around the country. You look at the tax cut he implemented. You look at literally the way he is pulling the regulatory beast out by its roots. This president has done more for our conservative philosophy and policy than any president in our lifetime. And that, you know, that was part of the Cohen testimony over the last couple of days, was that he did not run to win. He didn't think he was going to win. I'm sorry. You don't put your entire family through this
Cohen,
kind of
right.
hell and then not want to be winning this election. His family are patriots. I mean, you look at during the last election cycle, I traveled around the country doing fundraisers for U.S. Senate candidates, and all of his family was there. I was in Montana with Donald Trump Jr. I was in Montana with Donald Trump Jr. I was in Missouri with Erica Trump, Eric's wife. Mm-hmm. They were all across the country working their butts off mm-hmm. to win U.S. Senate seats around the country. They are doing this because they are patriots, and they're putting their livelihoods and everything they have at risk to save this country. And God bless them for it.
You want to see some children who were raised right? That alone says
I'm telling you.
Oh, so much.
And, I'm telling you.
And I think of a few things, too. Just to be on the recent headlines, people are saying, well, North Korea, well, he left, and what's going on? But you and I are old enough. I don't know. I hate to say old enough because people should know a little bit of history. But back in 86, we had Reykjavik with President Reagan and Gorbachev. And Reagan walked away. And what happened
right.
the
he
following
said,
year?
He we said, got a, yet, and got up and walked away.
And what happened the next year?
And came forward with a deal that literally brought down the Iron Curtain.
The very next year, correct.
Donald Trump is, if anything, he is a negotiator, and he is going to do what's in the best interest of this country. He's going to put America first. And if that deal would not solve a nuclear North Korea, he was going to walk away. He was not going to be like Obama, who literally sold our safety and the Middle East safety away to Iran. This president is going to hold their feet to the fire and make sure he comes away with the deal that the United States is demanding, not the deal that just is saying, well, at least I can walk away with something. That's not going to happen under this president.
I think we got a lot with President Trump. I think we got our money's worth. And there are people who will say, no, we never have. It's awful. But he donates his salary back. The art of the deal, though, he walked away. And I still can't help but bring up every now and then, we don't hear this as much as we used to, drain the swamp. But government got so big and unwieldy and crazy, and it's all about lobbyists and this, that, and the other, and getting reelected, that we wanted someone. We wanted a lion who would say, no, this, none of this makes sense. What did our founding fathers want? It's certainly not this. And President Trump is, you know, beginning to turn that around somewhat.
Well, I went to a symposium right after the president was elected, and it was a symposium of so-called experts, international experts on North Korea, former ambassador of North Korea forever. And they were all so demeaning and saying that there was no State Department people that would work for this administration because this administration was going to move us backwards when it came to international policy. And I can't help but I walked out of that meeting just appalled that these people were so arrogant that they knew everything. And yet it was their policies that got us to a point where North Korea was launching nuclear warheads that could hit Washington, D.C. And now you have a president that is actually talking to Premier Kim and actually getting to a point where he is no longer launching nuclear weapons or warheads anyways, and doesn't have that animosity towards the United States, that they're actually willing to sit down and talk with us and negotiate. That's Donald Trump. That's not all the failed policies of the last 20 years that have got us into this situation. That's Donald Trump coming to the table and saying, we're going to solve this problem.
Dear former presidents, thanks, but no thanks. You did not get it done. Hey, Ted, we're short on time, and I'm so sad about that. But I'm going to have our people talk to your people and try to get you back early next week to do a little review of CPAC. And we can't thank you enough, Ted. We'll see you then, okay?
That's great. Have a great weekend.
And try a third one. No. Let me try again. Try again. Here we go. Let's try this one. Okay. Well done. Okay, you got it.
So glad you've been with America Trends for the Hour. I'm Amy Fuller. Hope you catch us 24/7 on our website, u2america.com. And it's so easy. You just click on there and meet us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We can all be friends and talk. Tell us what matters to you. Tell us what you hate, whatever. We're here for you. I cannot begin to tell you how appreciative I am of Michael Hart and Ted Harvey and our guests that come on all the time that are so great. Michael Hart, the author of Unknown America and the purveyor of Heart of America, his podcast, his radio show that goes everywhere, talking about the political headlines of the day. And aren't these guys charming and fun? We really appreciate it. And then Ted is live at CPAC for us. So we're going to have him back next week and have us give us more of the lowdown. Vice President Pence speaking today, President Trump speaking tomorrow, all the names that you love, Diamond and Silk, Brandon Strzok going to be there. So we really appreciate them. And thanks to the guys in the back, Chris Janikas, Curtis Malovich. All you guys, Jared Coleman, Sully Sullivan, Carly Alon, and the guys at the network. We appreciate all you do, and it's a fun show. Don't you have fun? As we say goodnight, we want to say I'm going to bring you something that you guys have trending way high on YouTube. It was number one for at least a minute, and it's the X-Men trailer, Dark Phoenix. And this is what you guys are into right now, so we're going to play you a little bit of the trailer as we say so long for right now.
Why did you make me do that?
Look at me. Focus on my voice. I'm not giving up on you, Jean.
She was my friend.
You're my family, Jean.
Stop.
No matter what.
Stop. Stop. Stop!
Look. You're special, Jean. And if you stop fighting that force inside you, if you embrace it, you will possess the very power of a god.
Shockyrazo.
Tell me how we fix this, Charles. Tell me what to do.
I don't know what to do.
What they don't understand, they fear, and what they fear, we seek to destroy.
This is your fault, Charles.
I tried to protect her.
I'm scared. When I lose control, bad things happen to people I love.
A girl dies.
She's still Jean. We can still help her.
Sometimes you want to believe people are something that they are not. By the time you realize who they are,
Jean!
It's too late.
She's coming.